From the Mercy One studio. Welcome to Straight Talk, a lively discussion on tough issues impacting our lives. Every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Here's your host, Gene Wells.
Well, welcome to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. It is your weekly dose from the diocese, news from there and from around the world, and commentary on issues that should keep us awake at night. And I'm wondering if any of these issues today keep you awake at night, because if they did, our world would be in a much better place. It's Straight Talk. You've got questions, we've got answers. I'm live in studio along with my guest today, Monsignor Larry Beeson. So give us a text. 515-223-1150. The Zip Whip line is open. We are ready to take your questions and comments. We love to hear from you. I'm Jean Wells, and so grateful to Mercy One for sponsoring our studio, and to all of our sponsors here at Iowa Catholic Radio that allow us to keep bringing you the Word of God 24/7. It's a blessing to be able to be a part of this ministry. In a recent report from Skeptical Science, I love that one. Skeptical Science earlier this year, roughly 89% of the U.S. population believes that there is a God, compared to a 1944 survey, and about 96% said they believe. Now, they were touting this as being, woohoo, we're making progress. I'm thinking 89%, given all the other studies that have come out, is pretty good. At least people believing in God. Now, this may still hold true for the majority of Americans. Catholics may not always agree with the teachings of the church, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. You know, what about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist? About 6 in 10 of the most observant Catholics, those who attend Mass at least once a week, accept the church's teachings about transubstantiation, trans meaning change, the substance that the bread and wine change into the body and blood of Christ. 63% that go to Mass every week? That means, you know, 37% don't believe that. You know, still, even among the most observant group of Catholics, roughly a third, 37, don't believe that the communion bread and wine actually become the body and blood of Christ, including 23% who don't know the church's teachings on that, and 14% who don't know the church's teaching. They do know the church's teaching, but they still don't believe it. And among Catholics who do not attend Mass weekly, large majorities say they believe the bread and wine are symbolic and do not actually become the body and blood of Christ. Well, what do you believe? Text us. Where do you stand on this subject? I'd love to hear from you. We're going to talk about what the church teaches on all of these things. Again, my guest is Monsignor Larry Beeson. Retired priest is the simple title of this man. He's done everything in the church besides being bishop, and I'd promote him to that, but, you know, he's too busy writing or something. I don't know. We'll have to find out what he's been up to these days. What about belief in heaven and hell? 72% of Americans say they believe in heaven, but at the same time, 58% of U.S. Catholics believe in hell. Well, that doesn't kind of add up. For Catholics, 79% believe hell probably or absolutely exists. Again, what do you believe? What does the church teach on hell? Where do you think you're going to go? If you're just a good person, are you going to make it to heaven? I mean, God is a loving and forgiving God. What do you believe? Again, we're going to talk to Monsignor Larry Beeson about these unbelievable truths that we believe here in the Catholic faith. First, some events, though. Saturday, May 8th, it's just a little over a week away, is Mary's Meals Run. Oh, such a great event to raise funds for kiddos to learn and have a meal, a healthy meal, in some of the most impoverished countries of the world. Mary's Meals Run. You can check it all out on Facebook. Go to Mary's Meals Heartland. That's their Facebook page. You can find out all the details. And coming up in just a few weeks is the Iowa Catholic Men's Conference, scheduled for May 22nd. It's a Saturday morning, 7 a.m. to noon. There's Mass. There's the guest speakers are Gary Dolphin, the voice of the University of Iowa Hawkeyes football and men's basketball teams, along with Tim Jamison, whose faith journey is truly amazing. You will be inspired by both of them. Join Joe Stopulis and John Leonetti for the Iowa Catholic Men's Conference on May 22nd. You can register at iowacatholicradio.com. The Iowa Catholic Radio Golf Classic, presented by the Liturgical Institute, is Wednesday, June 23rd at the Legacy Golf Club in Norwalk. Shotgun start at 10 a.m. I would venture to guess Father Chris Hartshorn will be there. He just scored, is that the right term? Scored a hole-in-one yesterday at the Legacy Golf Course. Kudos to Father Chris Hartshorn. And anytime, anywhere, you're wanting to have some peaceful music, some inspiring music, you can listen to positive and inspiring Christian and Catholic music at the Iowa Catholic Radio app or online at iowacatholicradio.com. Now, in the news, this past Sunday was the World Day of Prayer for Vocations, and it brings to mind all of the religious sisters in my life from childhood through today, as well as the deacons and the priests who so faithfully serve us both now and then. Now, last Friday, a priest you never knew passed away just 23 days after his ordination. Father Lavinius Nemani was ordained in his hospital room on Holy Thursday with special permission from Pope Francis, and he died of leukemia at the age of 31. He dedicated the last 23 days of his life to offering Mass from his hospital bed. A priest who knew him, recalled, it's Father David Carbonaro, said his gift of a different priesthood, but at the same time, the same as that of every priest. His particular union with the sacrifice of Christ teaches us to celebrate with greater awareness. So even though the World Day of Prayer for Vocations was this last Sunday, we can always pray for the priests, the deacons, our religious sisters and brothers, all who choose a life of dedication, of service to God and to us. Next week, Pope Francis will hold a consistory where local cardinals will vote on the canonization of seven men and women, including Blessed Charles de Foucauld. That name sounds familiar. He wrote this prayer of abandonment. Father, I abandon myself into your hands. Do with me what you will. Whatever you may do, I thank you. I am ready for all. I accept all. Let only your will be done to me, and in all your creatures. I wish no more than this, O Lord. Into your hands I commend my soul. I offer it to you with all the love of my heart, for I love you, Lord, and so need to give myself, to surrender myself into your hands without reserve. And with this boundless confidence, for you are my Father. Amen. I love that prayer. Joining me today is Monsignor Larry Beeson. We are going to talk about the unbelievable truths that we all believe here in the Catholic faith. It's time for Straight Talk right now on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Blessman International. Blessman International partners with volunteers and donors to provide sustainable programs for children in South Africa by leading a 12-day, all-inclusive experience sharing the heart of Christ with vulnerable children in South Africa. Teams are forming to do something significant in an African child's life. Learn more at blessmaninternational.org. That's blessmaninternational.org. Thank you, Blessman International, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security is a Catholic-owned family business supplying security systems, access control systems, video surveillance, fire alarm systems, and video doorbells. All alarm systems are monitored out of their monitoring center located in the state of Iowa. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines. 515-440-4610 or online, ashworthvision.com.
Thank you, Dental Associates, for underwriting Dowling Catholic Sports 365. With over 40 years' experience, Dental Associates is a group dental practice with the mission of promoting optimum health and well-being to all patients, providing preventative, restorative, and cosmetic dentistry for the entire family. Message underwritten by Dr. Kenton Gleichman, Dr. Steve Carbaca, and Dr. Ben Nagel. Dental Associates, addressing your smile, needs, and dreams. Online at DesMoines-DentalAssociates.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the Morning is provided by Five Sons Naturescapes. Five Sons Naturescapes is a Catholic veteran-owned family company, providing premium outdoor landscaping, clean up and restore outdoor living space with retaining walls, privacy fencing, pergolas, paver sidewalks, and patios. Issues with soil settling and water around the foundation and yard? Five Sons Naturescapes can grade and install drainage tile to help. Five Sons Naturescapes online at fivesonsnaturescapes.com.
Thank you, Skeffington's Formal Wear, for sponsoring Dowling Catholic High School football. In business since 1951, Skeffington's Formal Wear offers quality service, style, and selection, providing tuxedos, suits, and casual groom attire for weddings, proms, and any other special occasion. Skeffington's Formal Wear, with convenient locations in Des Moines, West Des Moines, Davenport, Coralville, and Ankeny. All locations are family-owned and operated by members in their respective communities, fitting you for life celebrations. Online at skeffingtons.com.
Welcome back to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. I'm Jean Wells, and I encourage you to text us, 515-223-1150. Our Zip Whip line is open. Hey, Jimmy, where's the Zip thing? You do it on the Uncommon Good. Oh, my goodness. He's going to do it mid-conversation, Monsignor. So my guest is Monsignor Larry Beeson, a retired priest. Really, that is like the shortest. See? Right in there. Retired priest for the Diocese of Des Moines. Can you, in less than an hour, give us a list of every assignment and opportunity you've had as a priest?
I have a little booklet on that.
Do you really? Of course you do.
For our, my sister celebrated 70 years, my 60 years, and we have a booklet.
So you're just a lightweight.
Has all of the assignments in it.
Oh, and, my goodness.
Yeah, so... And it's just a little pamphlet.
How many pages?
Oh, golly, I bet it's 20.
So what would you say?
And it has pictures, too.
Oh, so well, then.
You know, it's...
Yeah. So what would you say are the highlights of your priesthood?
Oh, the highlights of my priesthood.
Of the things that you were assigned, not necessarily celebrating the Eucharist, which we're going to talk about Eucharist anyway.
Yeah,
but
yes,
but
yeah.
Your assignments, what would you say were the most...
The absolutely most spectacular assignment that I had was to go to Rome and be working in the Second Vatican Council.
You're only 29. How can that be?
That's exactly right. You know, that was because I had never expected to go to Rome. That was not in my...
Yeah, now our guys go all the time.
Yeah, right.
It seems, you know, but back then that was...
To actually work in the council itself, to pass out mm-hmm. ballots, pass out materials, be in amongst all of the council fathers. Mm-hmm. There were 2,500 of them. You know, that was an experience. I have beautiful pictures of myself at the council, mm-hmm. working in the council. Mm-hmm. And that's the easiest thing for mm-hmm. me to point out.
So how many popes do you know? Have you shaken hands with or kissed their ring or whatever it is?
You know, that's a wonderful question. None of them. None of them.
What?
And
I'm going to call Pope Francis and say, you need to come over to Iowa.
Because, when I take a tour, I've taken several tours mm-hmm. to Italy, that I say, now when you get home, there's going to be people that have gorgeous pictures of themselves shaking hands with the Pope. Don't think you're going to. <That's>,
not going to happen.
Right, right. That's never been a big, it's not something that I really wanted to do.
Really?
Right. You know, because of the fact... He'll die happy, I'll die happy, mm-hmm. and we'll never have shaken hands, you know.
Yeah.
But I do, I'm not putting down the idea of having a picture with the Holy Father. I know that that's very important to a lot of people, and I've been around a lot of different popes, but not to shake hands with them.
So if you were to have shaken hands with John Paul II, for instance, and now he's a pope, would that make you a second-degree relic? Oh, but I'm right, don't give up my day job, right?
He's He's a saint. That's right.
He is a saint.
Sure. Yes.
Well, Monsignor, I wanted to talk to you today. I just, there's so many readings lately that just have tugged at my heart that have said, that if you believe, you will live. You know, I am the bread of life.
Well,
you know,
John 3:16.
Right. You'll never die. And it's like, well, if people really believe that, wouldn't they be just, in church all the time, on their knees, humbled by the fact that Christ gave himself to us? Yet we go out and we sin all the time.
That's true.
So it's like, how do we...
One of my favorite, we're going to talk a little bit about hell. So,
yes.
But I thought...
Hell, yes.
the sun is shining. Mm-hmm. The flowering trees are all in bloom.
Yes.
The daffodils are blooming and the tulips are blooming. I thought, we can't have a downer program. That's on the upside.
That's on the upside. Okay.
And, but you're absolutely... The question is absolutely correct, that people live as if there was no... life after death.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I was talking before we were on the air about
yes.
the fact that these are really gifts from God. That's the thing that we need to have in our minds, is the fact that the God that we serve is the God who really and truly loves us and who has provided so many gifts for us to take advantage of, if we will take advantage of them. And there are people who just really and truly, they don't never give thought to that at all. And
isn't it scripture that says, I'd rather have you believe or disbelieve, but not be apathetic?
Yeah, right.
I'm totally paraphrasing that. But the people that don't even care, I think
lukewarm,
is
lukewarm. So I'm going to
lukewarm.
Spew you out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, but Pope Benedict, who is still alive,
mm-hmm.
and 90, just turned his another birthday.
Yes.
And he wrote an encyclical about hope. And mm-hmm. It deals with so many of the same problems that we're going to talk about today, because mm-hmm. of the fact he tries to indicate to people the fact that we really and truly do need to experience hope. And he says, is there a difference between faith and hope? He said, well, the two words really kind of are the same. And he goes into two really important lives that illustrate hope. On Sunday, he talked about, it was a Good Shepherd Sunday,
mm-hmm.
but he talked about the fact that in the Mediterranean, 130 migrants had drowned in the Mediterranean Sea. And he said, I am very sad about, this is Pope Francis talking, I'm very
mm-hmm.
sad, because these are people who had souls. They were at sea, and for 2 days they had asked for help, and nobody came to their aid,
mm-hmm.
and they all drowned. And I think that sometimes it's good for us to realize that we do live in a world where we're not really very sympathetic to those around us,
mm-hmm.
and that we can live that way, but it has consequences that for the people who suffer that way, and also for us, if our hearts are that hardened, why is it, what do we expect from the merciful God?
So, well, and people will say, well, if you have a merciful God, you Catholics, why would God let those 100-some people die?
Yeah, right, and there's so many ways of explaining the fact
mm-hmm.
that yes, he didn't just let them die. He asked you to help them, and you wouldn't help them. That's that's the thing. That's the part that's so difficult,
mm-hmm.
To deal with, is the fact that many of the problems, many of the things that we experience that are bad in this world, really come from other people. The fact that they themselves are not giving. They don't.
Well, there's that old joke, the guy that's in the flood on the roof and he's begging God for help, and God says, I sent you a boat and a helicopter and a whatever else the other thing was. It's like you expected this miracle, but I sent all these,
exactly.
people to help you. And so even when we, when we pray for help, we expect miracles as opposed to... it's like praying for the surgeon to have a steady hand and, surgery as opposed to saying, oh, Lord, heal me. And yes.
Yeah, we do pray for that. And that the caretakers, you know, that will assist the surgeon will do their jobs well so that the person gets well. And Pope Benedict wanted to talk about hope, and he went into the story of Josephine Bakhita.
Yes.
And Josephine was, at the age 9, captured, and she became a slave. Mm-hmm. And she was owned by cruel slave owners that beat her every day. Mm. And but eventually, she was purchased by an Italian diplomat who took her to Rome with his family. Mm-hmm. And he himself was very humane, very kind to her, and began to introduce her into the practice of the faith. And she became a religious sister and a saint.
And because slavery wasn't legal in Rome, she was free. And she always felt that she was free. I love her story because she never, even though she was a slave for years, she never let that capture her heart.
That's correct. That's right. And so that's the example. That's one of the examples he uses of what does it mean to have hope. Mm-hmm. That before, she really did not experience hope because of the fact they treated her so cruelly. But when she was put in the good circumstance, then once again, you know, she had that feeling, that inner feeling of the fact that, yes, my life has meaning, first of all, and that it's going to improve. I'll talk a little bit about Archbishop Than, too. He was the Archbishop of Saigon.
Okay.
And he was in
I'm lost here now. You're
solitary confinement for 13 years. And he was kept away from his anybody talking with him. They did smuggle in a little bit of wine. And so he would offer Mass with just a drop of wine in the palm of his hand. Mm. And he wondered about the fact that he said, have I lost my mind? He said, I tried to keep track of days and weeks and months, but he said, that all went by the by, he said. Mm-hmm. And so then I wondered if I lost my mind. And he said, when I was finally released, and he wasn't released because it was his time or anything, the United States and the Vietnam had a exchange of prisoners, and so he was in the exchange, and so that's why he was released. And but he said he knew right away that, oh, no, I didn't lose my mind. I'm still... Mm-hmm. And during those years, he prayed every day. And he, after that, wrote a book about hope. And so it's another example of the fact that we need to have hope in our life. That if you went through that experience and never had an idea of the fact that there is meaning to this, there's purpose to this. And so that's why he really was able to keep his own sanity and keep himself alive. And Pope Benedict is...
I think that's just the key, Monsignor. I mean, there's so many keys. But to know that there's a purpose in everything that we do, and that if we look for the purpose of the good, you know, whether it's being on the radio right now, I mean, you are always so willing to say yes when I ask you to join me.
Yeah.
You know, that there's a purpose. We don't know who that one person is that is listening that may have felt despair and now is gaining a sense of hope because of you being on today. We don't know that.
And this is the way that Pope Benedict gets into the whole idea of hope, and that is the fact that that we are one day going to face judgment, that, you know, we are resurrection people. We don't believe that life ends at death. We we know that God, we go to be with God. That's the easiest way I can explain it. Mm-hmm. And that...
we profess that every time at Mass and when we pray the rosary.
And we're going to be judged there. And Pope Benedict talks about the fact that this is a greater proof for life after death than almost any other argument, he said, because of the fact that we live in a world where there are grave injustices. Mm-hmm. And I talk about the 130 that drowned in the ocean, in the Mediterranean Sea, actually. Mm-hmm. And we know that these things have to be made right. But also, it shows that there's a meaning and a purpose in our life, that our life is going to be summed up someday, and we will, at that time, enter into a kind of a summation or looking over what our life is all about. Mm-hmm. So that's how he gets into the whole idea of judgment, the last judgment.
Well, we're going to talk about the last judgment when we come back from our break. But before we go there, I want to touch base again on the bishop that you mentioned.
Oh,
that,
right.
That was celebrated mass with a drop of wine. And we were talking in the opening segment about transubstantiation.
Right, yes.
That he believes that that drop of wine became the blood of Christ.
That's right. Yeah, he had bread, too. He had little pieces of bread. But.
So, but if the majority of Catholics don't believe or don't know or don't, I mean, you obviously believe that that is, you are consuming Jesus.
Exactly right, yes.
So it is the body and blood. How do you convince people? Easy question, 2 minutes, go.
You know, I realize that a lot of things are in questionnaires and surveys, and even in fundraising, you get, if you're like me, you get surveys. And
all the time.
At the end, they ask you for money.
Yeah. Oopsie.
Right. But the survey, in asking the questions, there's a certain amount of education that needs to take place. What do you mean when you say, is this the body and blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ? I've never seen any catechetics go with the survey. You know, they just are asking these questions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you're talking about body and blood, soul and divinity, you're talking about technical language in the Catholic Church. You know that
body and blood. I get soul and divinity.
So when they ask those questions, have they ever really explained? Well, this is really what this question is asking, because a lot of times people are asked questions and they don't really have all.
Do you know
of
what transubstantiation means? Yes. They don't know.
That's exactly right.
But you know that we've been talking at home about John 6:66.
Correct. Yes.
And we find it fascinating that it's 666.
Yes. The man with the right. The number. Right.
Evil, but that when they. When they found that Jesus, when it was too hard to believe that the bread and wine became the body and blood of Christ, so they left.
They left, and Jesus said, "Are you going to go too?"
No. I'm going to. Peter's going to stay. Where else is there to go?
That's
right.
Exactly.
So, I don't know if that was the beginning of hell, but it certainly seemed like it that they would choose to leave the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus right there. After they'd seen all those miracles.
Yes.
They saw him raise people from the dead. They changed the water into wine. But now this is too much to believe?
That's right. Yeah. And so but now we know that the Eucharist is a gift. Faith is a gift too. Mm. And we pray for those gifts. We pray those gifts for others too.
Mm-hmm.
If a person, you can't force them.
Yes. This is a gift. You're going to like it.
Yeah, right.
And you're going to write a thank you note.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, it is time to take a break. When we come back, we're going to visit with Monsignor Beeson about eternal life, heaven, and hell. You're listening to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Good.
Thank you to Mercy One for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. From the cardiovascular experts at the Iowa Heart Center to the pediatric services of Mercy Children's Hospital and Clinics, Mercy provides complete care for Central Iowa's adults and children with more than 50 primary care and specialty clinics in the Des Moines area. Find a convenient Mercy One location near you. Online at mercydesmoines.org.
The Iowa Catholic Men's Conference is Saturday, May 22nd at the Embassy Suites downtown, starting with Mass at 7 a.m. Speakers include Gary Dolphin and Tim Jamieson, hosted by Joe Stopulis and John Leonetti. Learn more at iowacatholicradio.com/events.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Catholic Women Now provided in part by Permar Security, a Catholic-owned family business providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. Permar Security, 515-244-5660, permarsecurity.com.
Thank you, Skeffington's Formal Wear, for sponsoring Dowling Catholic High School football. In business since 1951, Skeffington's Formal Wear offers quality service, style, and selection, providing tuxedos, suits, and casual groom attire for weddings, proms, and any other special occasion. Skeffington's Formal Wear, with convenient locations in Des Moines, West Des Moines, Davenport, Coralville, and Ankeny. All locations are family-owned and operated by members in their respective communities, fitting you for life celebrations. Online at skeffingtons.com.
Thank you, Construction Professionals, for your support of Dowling Catholic Sports 365. Construction Professionals is a family-owned business dedicated to our customers. Whether designing, building, or renovating, we are here to better serve you. Our passion for quality craftsmanship, paired with our dedication to creativity, result in a home that reflects your personality, style, and family function. Construction Professionals. Design. Build. Renovate. CPCustomHomes.com. From our family to yours. God bless.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Dowling Catholic Sports is provided in part by Ashworth Vision Clinic. With two licensed optometrists, Barbara Sheets, a Dowling graduate, and Dr. Craig Harper, the Ashworth Vision Clinic team provides complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. Ashworth Vision Clinic is located at 60th and Ashworth in West Des Moines, 515-440-4610, or online, ashworthvision.com.
Here's your forecast on Iowa Catholic Radio. Still warm today. We'll be in the low 80s with gusty wind and mostly cloudy skies. We have a stationary front overhead. Low pressure will move in overnight, and we may get a shower or thunderstorm, and our low dropping into the upper 50s. And then tomorrow, it looks like a good chance of rain and a few thunderstorms mixed in with our high near 70. Things clear out on Thursday, back to sunshine and cooler 65. I'm meteorologist Steve Hamilton on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Welcome back to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Wells, and joining me today is Monsignor Larry Beeson. We're talking all things church and the unbelievable things of our faith.
That's right.
That if people really believed them, they would be on their knees.
Correct. That's right.
If they really believed them, they'd be on their knees. Yet we come and go. We skip masses. Well, you know, especially with coronavirus, and now I've kind of gotten bored with the online thing, so I don't have to go. Bishop said I don't have to go, so you know, I'll just catch up later,
right,
which is a big concern for, you know, people are like, oh, that's because you're not collecting the money.
Yeah.
It's like, aren't we really concerned with their souls?
Exactly.
That's, you know, it's, the financial piece, we want to keep our church and schools open, but it's really the souls of the faithful that we're concerned about, in heaven and hell, and where are we going to go with all of this?
You know, I was I need to say this simply because of the fact I looked it up and I remembered it.
Okay.
And that is that if you want to know where does the Catechism of the Catholic Church talk about hell?
Yes.
It's in 1033.
1033. Paragraph 1033. Folks, if you've never opened the Catechism, there's 2,500, 2,800 paragraphs.
That's
and
right.
So you can always find, go to the glossary if you're looking for something.
Exactly
particular.
Right.
Yep.
Uh-huh. And,
so paragraph 1033 is about hell. Only one paragraph?
And well, it's part of a whole context because it talks about purgatory just before that. And we were talking about how Pope Benedict talks about the fact that having judgment, you know, sometimes we can look at that. There's a lot of jokes about, even on the cartoon pages, you'll see jokes that have people lined up going into heaven and being questioned, all of these kinds of things. But as a matter of fact, it's part of you have to get into the whole idea of what do we love? What do we love? Where is our will? That's we are invited by God to love Him, that to freely love Him, to choose Him, and that if we steadfastly refuse to choose Him, that gets to be permanent. So I kind of got amused at Pope Benedict because he talked about the fact that it used to be in churches, this is many years ago, he's a great liturgist, that on the eastern side of the church, there would be scenes of the resurrection in the paintings mm-hmm. and in the decoration. And on the western side, would be the hell, you know. Mm-hmm. And he said that the artists really found it more interesting to do the scenes from hell than portraying heavens.
Oh. Well, and I thought you were going to go with the crucifixion as opposed to the resurrection is where I thought you were going with that. But we do believe in the cross. Without the cross, there is no resurrection.
Correct.
You know, if we're not willing to take up our cross, if we say it's just too hard, that's what you're talking about, where we just choose to, if we perpetually choose to not love God, to not take up our cross, to not do what we're asked to do, it becomes permanent.
Yeah, well, it's lest we get too deep into, there's the whole idea that usually, the usual explanation of separation from God is mortal sin. We do things that are mortally sinful. But the Catechism also points out the fact that in order for us to make that kind of determination, that we have to have full knowledge, full consent of the will, you know, and mm-hmm. that has to be a serious matter.
Grave. Mm-hmm.
So that was, there used to be one of the many jokes about judgment, that somebody is in hell because of the fact that they, slaughtered thousands of people. Mm-hmm. They asked the other person, well, what did you do? Well, I ate a hot dog on Friday.
Oh, no.
That was...
Was it really grave? Yeah. But, you know, we make light of that kind of thing. But then, you know, those of us that are parents and maybe our children have chosen to cohabitate and not get married, but they're good people.
Right. Uh-huh. That's
you know, we worry about their souls.
Yeah, we do. That's
they're,
right.
They're and good we people. Should. They're and good
we,
people.
And we should worry about their
right.
souls, too.
So, yes. You know, was that poor catechesis on the part of parents that our children are choosing that lifestyle? Or is it... Is it grave sin because they know
like
they're not supposed to?
I'd like to think more about the shift in culture. Mm-hmm. You know, that stuff that my parents would be really scandalized to hear us even mention some of the things that are going on. There's been a shift in culture as to what's acceptable, And that's where it's difficult for the church today, because of the fact we really have to fight against the culture, not just against the individual.
Yeah, we don't look at what's happening, modernity, right? What's happening in modern times and say, oh, well, we'll adjust the teachings.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is, you know, cohabitating, that's just acceptable.
But we have to be, in our catechesis, we have to be really more precise and, what do I want to say, more appealing, that... We can't just, it doesn't work in the world today to just say, well, that's wrong, you know. Mm-hmm. People don't want to hear that's
right.
wrong.
Yeah,
that's
you
wrong.
Can't go to Sunday dinner and say, you know, bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts, and then say, and you're going to go to hell because you're cohabitating.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So you have to, and I think that that's where I think the context is really important. So that in other words... That we see salvation is a gift from God, and don't you want this gift? You know,
I want this gift
to have that kind of a positive approach.
Mm-hmm.
But it still remains true that if you freely choose not to love God, that you're Jesus in His, if you read the New Testament, talks many many times mm-hmm. about the fires of hell. You know mm-hmm. that going into perdition, and so it's kind of a double job of waking people up mm-hmm. in the first place to realize that, don't you know that that there is life after death, and that we need to prepare for that, and that God has given us a wonderful life after death that Mother Saint Faustina, a lot of people like Saint Faustina, mm-hmm. talks about life after death, and Scott Hahn has a book too called Hope to Die.
Yes.
In it he's talking about the positive joys that there will be in heaven. That it's not, that you don't have to have harp lessons, you know, to play mm-hmm. that harp.
Thank goodness. Up there. I could do guitar, but I don't know about harp.
So that we really and truly need to focus on the what the joys of mm-hmm. heaven are, the fact that it is, and that it's eternal too, mm-hmm. That this life is the preparation for the next life. So, but you're right, as when you say, are parents worried? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Especially my experience has been the grandparents especially mm-hmm. are the ones that say, well, the grandkids have never been baptized. And it's in my own family too. I'm not just sitting here in an ivory tower mm-hmm. Talking about these things.
Because you think as a Monsignor in the Catholic Church,
everything would be perfect.
That just by, you know, being there at the potluck on July 4th, everyone would be like, you know, let's sing praises to the Lord because we've now been blessed and we all believe. And you're saying that's not true at your church.
No, I think it's well for people to realize that, you know, that it is a struggle, but that it's well worth it because mm-hmm. of the fact that you're dealing with eternal truths. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with what is the reason, what's the purpose? And I think a lot of people really need to search into what is my purpose on life. I've talked to so many people that work at home.
Yes.
And one of the hardest things they have is to tell, when am I working at home and when am I working? You know, because of the fact that that you don't get in the car and go someplace. Mm-hmm. You are right there all the time. And
And when can I stop working?
Yeah, right, you know.
Because, you know, it's like, oh, it's 10 o'clock, I may throw in a load of laundry, but it's also 7 p.m. and I'm still working on a memo because, there and you get sidetracked and it's like, have I put in my 8 hours today?
Yeah, you know.
Or have I put in 10 or have I put in 5?
And that's a matter of justice, too, you know, the mm-hmm. whole idea of that we are. I think that the whole idea of what is my purpose in life? I was listening to a program about the fact that it used to be that we had an agricultural mm-hmm. society and that everybody was their own boss. And when it became an industrial society where you're going to go and you just turn a certain wrench or you turn mm-hmm. do a certain cut of meat on the mm-hmm. packing plant floor, people began to ask, you know, what is my purpose in life? And that's, if you know the history of the Knights of Columbus, that's when they began to have societies so that working men could get together mm-hmm. and, you know, talk about other things other than just what's happened at work or this kind of thing, but really talk about what's my purpose on life? Why am I here?
Which is really good for our souls, because as self-employed folks, if your purpose is to run your business, that really isn't what God has called us to do. Yes, you may be feeding the hungry and, you know, as a farmer, but if you look at your purpose, is to love.
Yeah, it's to love. That's right. And God gave us that gift of that we can love him, that we can freely choose him. Mm-hmm. But in America, it's hard to talk about freedom, you know, because it means so many things. It's like the word love. It means so many things.
Mm-hmm. And, what's love got to do with it?
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a break. And we come back, Monsignor Beeston, I'd like to talk about, with Pentecost coming up in just a couple of weeks.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You know, again, it's like, three people? Why not just one, you know, and does everything? We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit when we come back with Monsignor Larry Beeston. You're listening to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio.
Are you ready for the Iowa Catholic Radio Golf Classic? Presented by the Liturgical Institute. Golf, build community, and have fun. Wednesday, June 23rd at Legacy Golf Club in Norwalk. Shotgun start at 10 a.m. Sign up at iowacatholicradio.com/events. Thank you to Mercy One for their support of Iowa Catholic Radio. From the cardiovascular experts at the Iowa Heart Center to the pediatric services of Mercy Children's Hospital and Clinics, Mercy provides complete care for Central Iowa's adults and children with more than 50 primary care and specialty clinics in the Des Moines area. Find a convenient Mercy One location near you. Online at mercydesmoines.org.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall. Online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print.
We make printing easy.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio's broadcast of Dowling Catholic Sports and Activities is provided by Kemin, a global ingredient manufacturer using science to transform the quality of life for 80% of the world. Kemin is on the leading edge of molecular science, manufacturing more than 500 specialty ingredients for the human and animal health and nutrition, pet food, aquaculture, nutraceutical, food technologies, crop technologies, and textile industries. Kemin strives to sustainably transform the quality of life every day for 80% of the world with their products and services. Kemin, using science to transform the world. Online at Kemin.com.
BuildAKen Construction. Not going along with the crowd will help you stand out in the crowd. BuildAKen Construction proudly supports Iowa Catholic Radio. BuildAKen Construction is a commercial general contractor providing pre-construction, estimating, and scheduling services through completion of construction. We can build projects ranging from tenant improvements and historical renovations to high-rise buildings. We build confidence. Learn more about the nearly 40 projects in the Des Moines metro area completed by BuildAKen Construction by visiting www.bdconstruct.com.
Welcome back to Straight Talk on Iowa Catholic Radio. This is Jean Wells, and joining me today is Monsignor Larry Beeson. We're talking about all the unbelievable things that we believe.
That's correct. We do.
And the Holy Spirit is one of them. You know, we're coming up on Pentecost, the birthday of the church. And, you know, I was thinking last night, it's like, really? Why do we have to have three people, and why do we have to struggle with explaining three people in three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Why isn't there just God that does all these amazing things?
That's it's really beautiful to look at the Trinity because of the fact that God is not just a blob.
You heard it here first on Iowa Catholic Radio. God is not a blob.
That there's something going on in God, and that is the Father begetting the Son, mm-hmm. and the Father and the Son love one another and beget the Holy Spirit.
So does that mean God the Father existed before God the Son?
You know, that's a heresy that the Arians thought about. And that jump into really thinking about an eternal being, somebody that has no beginning and mm-hmm. no ending, mm-hmm. The fact that these processions, as we call them, mm-hmm. Go on. There was never a time in our terms that there wasn't that procession of Father, mm-hmm. Son, mm-hmm. and then the love of the Father and Son for one another, the Holy Spirit.
Eternal exchange of love.
Yes. And it is, God is love. You know, that's in John's letter. Mm-hmm. And we know that this is one of those gifts that God has mm-hmm. given to us, that he lets us see into his inner life. And not only does he see into our inner life, but he comes to dwell within us, that we are temples, temples mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the terms that we use. Mm-hmm. But where the Spirit is, so also is the Father and the Son. I was just recently studying a book that my whole priesthood, I've studied the whole idea of the indwelling of the Holy Trinity into our lives, because of the fact that it's really, you know, God is everywhere, and certainly he keeps us totally in existence, and the things we love and the people we love, God mm-hmm. is keeping them in existence. And we have to realize that God is really within us. So if we're turning away from God, God's right there. You know, it isn't somebody up in heaven. This is God that's walking with us every day through every day.
And if we believe that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, don't we want to care for that temple as best we can?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, mind, spirit, heart, body, everything. It's like, if this is the temple, don't you take care of it?
That's right. That, you know, to be healthy and don't have habits that hurt the body. You know, using illicit drugs or however you want mm-hmm. to describe. But really, to take care of the body and give mm-hmm. it enough exercise, enough rest too. I would say in our society, a rough rest is one of the problems, because of the fact we have so many means of communication that are so incessant and imposing.
Yeah, you did not text me back at 3:30 this morning when I sent you a message about today's show. Yes. I don't know why. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so we need to realize that, this is the gift of God, and that God really and truly does love us. God delights in the fact that he's able to deal with us. You know, that Jesus became one of us. That true God and true man. That's the traditional, you know, theological words that we use. But that God really delights. God is really happy that we exist and that he takes care of us and he's really inviting us. And when we turn away, I can't say that he's sad because of the fact that that's, you know, that's really a human emotion.
Right.
But at the same time, he does desire that we do love him and love him
he
back.
He created you. He knew your name before you were born. Yeah, and if you turn away from him, I mean, if our child turns away from us, we're sad. I mean, in human terms. If they've chosen things that are contrary to everything that they've been raised, we're disappointed. So, I mean, just imagine, God created everything, and if we turn away from him.
And we see in Pentecost the whole idea of how people changed when the Holy Spirit entered their life. We're in this Easter season. We go through John's Gospel, and today in the Acts of the Apostles today, it's talking about how the Spirit came to the Gentiles, not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And today, the reading for the first reading for today happens to be from Acts of the Apostles about how in Antioch, the Christians were first called Christians. Was in Antioch. It was in Greece, not in Jerusalem, but in Greece. And so we, and that's a real awakening in the church to realize that the Holy Spirit can work wherever the Holy Spirit wants to work, and we have to be open to that ourselves too.
Well, and I think, well, we'd probably be Gentiles.
Right. We are Gentiles.
Right.
That's right.
So thank goodness.
Yeah,
you know that Paul and the disciples, which one is credited with reaching out to the Gentiles first?
Well, Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles.
Apostle of the Gentiles. I was trying to think of which one's called the apostle. You know, thank goodness.
Thank God. That's But the Feast of Pentecost is coming up. Yes, it's the birthday of the church, and the gospel that's used in the Acts of the Apostles is the fact that they were speaking in different languages, but they all understood one another. And so, and we see the work of the Spirit in the church today, and the way that it's universal. It's all over the world, and somehow or other connected together.
Monsignor, in our last few minutes, you know, so many folks are, you know, we're a post-Christian society. Everything's going to... And, you know, the church is going to collapse and, you know, all the naysayers. And it's like, but Jesus says, you know.
The gates of hell shall not prevail against us.
So is this just another time of purgation for the church that, you know, we're growing through this? What's your take on all that's happening right now?
Definitely that is a way that God purifies us. You know, sometimes we wonder, well, I have such great enjoyment of my faith. Why is it my other family members do not? And the answer is the fact that sometimes that's a test for our own faith. So in other words, if you really believe, then you're going to believe even in spite of the fact that nobody else believes. And many of the martyrs, and there are many martyrs in the world today, they don't have any support from anybody. People say, well, it's crazy that you give your life as a martyr. But they do that because of their love for God, and it's the work of the Spirit too that helps them to.
Well, and if we were presented with that time,
You know,
would we be a martyr, or would we say, "Oh no, I was just kidding"? Because you know we think we have this deep faith, but do we? And that's what we have to continue to pray for now. I mean, and I will probably never be martyrs.
That's true, right? And but we pray for all of those. Well, and we know the Gospels really talk to us also about taking care of the needy and the underprivileged, and even the Catholic Truth Organization, Catholic CDO.
Catholic Tuition Organization, yes. Thank you for bringing that in, Monsignor.
Because of the fact that it's taking care of others. You know, that's something that we have to look into our own lives and make sure that, am I reaching out to other people? You know, it gets that whole business of it's in giving to others that we receive. You know,
On Divine Mercy Sunday, we had the scripture that talked about that it was a community of faith, and they sold everything, and no one was in need. And, you know, does God expect us today to sell everything we have and give everything to the poor? I don't think so, but I think that because we have been so blessed, we do have to give, whether it's mm-hmm. the CTO or Catholic Charities or Catholic Radio or all of the various ministries mm-hmm. that are out there. You know, how do we take care of those
who are needy?
Others? Mm-hmm. Yeah, body and soul.
That's one of the marks of the followers of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. is that they take care of the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Pope Francis has been so big on that. Mm-hmm. You know, every chance he gets, he really talks about caring for those who are needy.
Yeah, he challenges us, doesn't he?
He does challenge.
That Pope challenging us to be good and faithful Catholics. Oh, my goodness. Monsignor Beeson, I want to thank you.
You're welcome.
Always such a joy to have on. And we could do this show for several hours, and who knows what topics we might get to. But you are truly a blessing to me and to Iowa Catholic Radio and to all of us here.
Thank you
for
inviting me. God
bless you.
God bless you, too.
Well, I also want to thank Jimmy Olson. He is our producer, always taking good care of us. Now, next week, Anne-Marie Cox will be guest hosting Straight Talk, and she'll be visiting with individuals who have joined the church this Easter season. Their journeys, to me, are always inspiring. I'm Jean Wells, and today I'm asking St. Boniface, who throughout his life placed a pious emphasis on learning and understanding of the sublime truths of God's revelation. St. Bonaventure, intercede for us on our growth in understanding all of what God has revealed to us. St. Bonaventure, pray for us. Iowa Catholic Radio is a listener-supported station, and we perpetually rely on your prayers and your support to continue our mission of connecting listeners to Christ. Give to Iowa Catholic Radio online at iowacatholicradio.com or through our app. Iowa Catholic Radio app is free app for you. Straight Talk is every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and 10 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio and always available on podcast or through the Iowa Catholic Radio free app. Stay tuned for Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo. God bless.
Straight Talk, where you get answers to tough issues impacting your life. Listen anywhere at any time via podcast at iowacatholicradio.com. Straight Talk, heard every Tuesday at 10 a.m. and replayed at 10 p.m. only on Iowa Catholic Radio.